You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. I am delighted to be with you today. And along with me here in the studio is our director, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you today?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, spring has sprung after too long of a period of time of darkness, cold, clouds, and that less than gentle rain down the soft hills of Illinois.
But it's starting to get warmer and the flowers are out. And lilacs are blooming.
There's new life, and maybe that's why some genius, maybe the Lord Jesus or whomever, had the great idea to position Easter. When life begins to return.
Not that life
ever goes away, I don't mean it that way,
but
that all of a sudden the newness of life, things are turning green and colors are returning and attitudes are changing and people are smiling and
And I love that it's Easter season. I love Easter. I loved Lent and all the ritual of Holy Week and the Triduum, but I love Easter season. The readings are so rich. Our churches are all decorated so beautifully. You can smell the flowers. Many parishes still have their fountains bubble in. I love the flow of the water. It's just fabulous.
You know, someone said to me not too long ago, maybe around Holy Week, as Catholics, we don't celebrate the Lord's death. We commemorate the Lord's death, but we celebrate the Lord's resurrection.
Absolutely.
And I thought, what a good insight.
Right.
I mean, we are people of life. And sometimes to get to life, you have to pay a price through death to resurrection.
Yes.
But the focus is always on. And I think that's the wonderful thing for me as somebody for almost 41 years who has presided at obviously a number of funerals of God's people, that the Catholic ritual doesn't focus on death, but it leads from death into resurrection, being called to new and ever-ending life. And what I always enjoy is this time of the year on Easter Sunday, going into churches, they're filled with flowers.
Yeah.
It smells different.
Yeah.
And there's a whole different attitude. And I think that we are people of life and light. And so I'm having a good spring day. Can you tell?
Excellent, excellent. And one more piece of that. Liturgically speaking, Lent lasted 40 days, but the Easter season lasts 50. So again, that sense of life over death.
Right.
I mean, we are people of new life.
To Pentecost.
Absolutely.
It's 40 days from Easter to the Ascension, when we celebrate the Ascension, and 10 more days to Pentecost.
Wow.
So it's go 40-40. And then tack on 10, and we go 40-50.
So all right, fabulous.
There's always symbolism in our numbers. Well, that's true.
You know, I'm going to enjoy every single day
of it. Exactly. No doubt about it.
Excellent.
Well, we're glad everybody is with us this morning, and those of you who are listening on Relevant Radio, and those of you who might have pulled this off of our website, and these shows, after about a 48-hour period, are put at yamchicago.org, which is our website for young adult ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And then if you just search around on that home page, you're going to find a place for where you'll find these radio shows. And what we've suggested to people time and time again is that if you're going to go out for a run, a walk, if you're going to, if you have an MP3 player or device or a way to plug it in your car, if you're going to the gym to work out and you want something different buzzing in your ears, then why don't you just download our show and listen a little bit. And today we're going to do a sort of a little review on Lent.
Yes.
A little preview on life. And we're going to bring in, three very wonderful people. We're going to have with us Nancy Polacek, who is the coordinator for the strategic plan that will kick off in our diocese on July 1. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to have with us two of our RUA young adult ministers, in Elise and Terry Shelley. And they're going to be with us, and we're going to talk a little bit. Elise Ainsworth, I'm sorry, I did a little brain freeze there.
Oh.
And Terry Shelley, and they're going to be with us as we focus a little bit on this first year of the strategic plan, which Nancy is going to really just lay it out for us a little bit. And then we're going to have Terry and Elise, who have been in the field out in Chicago Heights in the southeast part of our diocese. And Elise, working through her offices at Dominican University in the western part of our diocese, to do a little reflecting on the whole phenomenon of younger Catholics in our church and some of the observations they have. And then I think we're going to move, Kate, a little bit to giving people a little insight into Theology on Tap, which cranks up Sunday, July 10th.
Yes, indeed.
Okay?
Yes, indeed.
So that's our plan for today. And I hope that makes some sense to those of you who are listening to us today. And so off we go.
Yeah. And just to look back just a little bit, we did do a wonderful blog for our Lenten season. We invited people to comment on reflections that were posted, both by the ministers connected to young adult ministry and young adults who are active in young adult ministry. It was a wonderful way to really delve into the season and share strategies for working your way through Lent and Holy Week. And we got some wonderful, wonderful feedback on that. And as part of that, we just wanted to share the significance of the website right now, the significance of technology right now. The Lenten reflections were part of what we called Awaken. That was something that Nathan Hernandez started for us a few years back, and we've continued that tradition. So we invited people to read and reflect, and it really allowed people to enter into conversation with one another. So the blog is basically a couple of paragraphs that people can access through our website. And we also repeated those reflections on Facebook.
Right.
And I took a digital media class recently, and the professor said either people love Facebook or they hate it.
Exactly.
You go into it kicking and screaming. But I got to tell you, for young adults, a lot of people are connected.
Sure they are.
And there are some people that choose not to use it, and that's absolutely fine, which is why we gave people the option of the blog on our website. But we strongly encourage all of our listeners to get connected, to visit Facebook, and to see the wealth of information that's there. And just, you know, a sideline for those who may not know, Cardinal George is on Facebook. He has his own Facebook page.
Right.
There's wonderful wisdom being shared about what's happening through the Archdiocese of Chicago, where the Cardinal is and what he's been doing, you know, when he visits Rome and the papers he's been writing, the book that he's written. You can comment about that on Facebook. So all sorts of ways to be connected digitally.
Sure. And Kate, when we began, the week before Lent, with our Facebook page, which, by the way, folks, is Young Adult Ministry of Chicago. So if you happen to be computer literate, I'm semi-literate, I'll be very honest with you, and you're able to go to Facebook, this facebook.com, and there's a little box up in the top that says search, and you put in Young Adult Ministry of Chicago, and then this page will come up. We have several pages, but this is the one we've been focusing on. And as Kate has mentioned, it's a daily reflection. Now, right where it says Young Adult Ministry of Chicago, you're going to see a little box that says like, L-I-K-E. And if you want that reflection to come up daily on your homepage, you just click like and leave the rest to the magic of somebody who graduated from Harvard. I don't even know how they do it. It's
But when you
consider there's 600 million people that are on Facebook, we who are in the church and work for the church cannot ignore these types of technology. And folks, I'm, you know, one of the great gifts that God has given me is the privilege of preaching to God's people on a variety of levels and occasions. And to think that almost every day during Lent, I had the privilege. We have, I looked yesterday, Kate, there were 598 people on Young Adult Ministry of Chicago, and our goal was 500.
Yes.
But that is a Sunday congregation. So I have the privilege, and you do too, when we craft a little couple hundred word thing, and then we're able to tell how many people click on that. And we're averaging, folks, about 750 people who click on, so that's more than we have that are liking it. So it's become a very effective tool, and I'm going to suggest when we after we come back from a break that parishes really enter this age is a way. I've always said in the scripture tells us Jesus went from town to town and the crowds followed. Well, the way to go to town to town today is you've got to use technology and then get into people's, literally into their faces. But we can talk about that. We'll take a break, and then we're going to rope in Nancy Polacek, who is coordinating the strategic plan for the entire blooming Archdiocese of Chicago for 5 years. Now, there's a there's what you call job security. Okay.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Thanks.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted that you're spending some of your beautiful morning with us. Thanks so much for listening. We have been talking about a little bit about technology and the importance of getting connected, being online, figuring out what information can best be shared digitally. And I wanted to share something that I heard from a young adult at one point in regard to parish websites, that a lot of young adults move from place to place to place to place, and they'll type in, you know, church closest to me in boom, and the line was, if you're not online, you don't exist. Right. And I know young adults have come to my parish because they found us us on the website. They found our website and things looked interesting. So that's another piece of wisdom that right. How does your website look? Is there a website? Is it easy to access? Will people find it? Are the mass times listed? Are the activities listed? You know, just to put your best self forward electronically makes a difference.
And I think, Kate, what we're saying today is there's that myth out there that, well, technology and all these trendy words, Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 they're really for a younger crowd. Yes and no. I mean, they were generated by a younger crowd. But they have become state-of-the-art for so many things. Yeah. If you listen today to television commercials or you listen to radio, everybody is saying, you can find us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if we're serious about taking the message of Jesus Christ and continuing to bring it to the world, you bring it to your people first. You fire up your own people. And I think that these are the tools today, and I'm telling you, they're so much easier in many ways. First of all, they're cost effective. We used to put out a newsletter to, what, Kate, 20,000?
Yeah, it was
20,000 young adults. Now, run the numbers on that, folks. It would be printing, postage, staff time and putting 16 pages together,
resources.
All that kind of thing. It was costing us $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 15 years ago to do that. We may not have 20,000 email addresses, but we have 6,000 or 7,000, and you just hit a button. And so cost effective is wonderful. But in terms of contact with God's people, particularly that younger crowd today with whom we are privileged to work, many of whom, now let's face it, many of whom are on the edge of the reservation. We know that. There's some wonderful people who are very, very active in church. All of your parishes are going to be seeing the revisiting in beginning now in the next couple of months of people who have been away at school or have been at school locally and are basically coming back into the area for the summer. So when people say to me, as I heard last week when I was doing something in a parish, well, we don't have many younger people around. Yes, you do. Don't just measure it by who's inside the door when the priest says, "The Lord be with you." They're around. We have to just move them a little closer. And today, when you consider that younger people today, clearly, both secular and religious literature talk about a spiritual hunger, they really are. Well, I've always said, if they're spiritually hungry and we have the bread of life, well, then we should be able to profit off of this and bring that food, the Lord's food, to people. Yesterday's gospel, give me some of this bread always. And Jesus in John's gospel says, "I am the bread of life." And I thought, that's one of the most wonderful lines in the whole wide world. Here, I'm what you need. I will give you life and keep you alive. So I'm obviously, folks, we're pushing an agenda here, but technology, and I don't know that much about it. Believe me, I keep saying, "Kate, how do I do this? And how do I do that?" And she said, "Do you want me to teach you?" And I say, "No, you just do it for me."
Well,
I don't want to learn.
The best way to learn it, everybody, is to grab your nephews and nieces or kids and, you know, their friend, the neighbors who, you know, anybody in there. Even teens and 20s can do so much.
Teens and 20s,
so
5 and 6-year-olds. My God. Oh, I can do that. Bing, 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 bing.
Whoosh.
A few keystrokes and all of a sudden the world has changed.
Everybody's got their own website.
That's right. That's right. Well, one of the people who is going to have to face this technology thing head on has been given a noble task and a wonderful challenge, and that is to coordinate this entire strategic plan for the whole Blumen Archdiocese of Chicago, and we are graced by her presence today in the studio here at the Quigley Center. And so, Nancy Polacek, good morning.
Good morning, Father John, and good morning,
Kate.
Good
morning, Nancy.
And thank you so much for shifting your schedule around a little bit and joining us today. Nancy, before we get into to strategic plan. I mean, that always sounds, to me, it sounds like Eisenhower. And we're going to try to figure, we're going to try to figure a way to end a war.
Oh,
you know,
you
we're going to have a strategic plan. And I mean, it's a very important title. I mean, if you don't have a plan and you don't have a strategy, I mean, the Lord Jesus had a plan. The Lord Jesus
sure
had
did.
A strategy. You know, we don't put it that way. But I always am fascinated by how of all the different crazy things people could be doing in their life, how does a Nancy Polacek wind up as the coordinator for the strategic plan for the Archdiocese of Chicago when a bright young woman like you could be doing so many gazillion things in this world?
Well, Father John, it was not a straight road, let me tell you.
None of us have had a straight road to the church.
True.
And, you know, a little bit of what my story is reflected in what we know about teens and young adults. So let me just tell you that raising three young children, I have three kids that are about 3 years apart. So it was pretty chaotic as a very young mom in my 20s. I went to a retreat at my parish.
Okay.
And in that moment of retreat and that spiritual awakening, I realized that God was calling me to use my gifts somehow. Mm-hmm. I had a master's in education. And so I took those gifts and went into the parish and asked if they needed a catechist. Mm-hmm. You know, and once you step in the door, sometimes right. You never leave.
That's right. It's a big room on the other side of the door.
So starting as a catechist for first graders and teaching and loving it and learning as I was teaching brought me back to getting a master's in pastoral studies at Loyola at Institute for Pastoral Studies.
Same as Kate.
Uh-huh. And which eventually led to moving up to being the director of religious education in our parish. That moved into diocesan work, which is where we've kind of it's where I am today.
Right.
So, you know, some of those same steps, you know, that spiritual awakening, right. Learning more about your faith, and then being included into the parish right. Is some of the same things that we're doing with teens and young adults this year.
And being invited in.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and folks, the reason I push that is there's a pastoral strategy there in dealing with the younger crowd. They need to be invited. Mm-hmm. They don't think that things are for them. And so I'm telling you, if they are your kids or your grandkids, you know, bang on the rectory, bang on the director of religious education, all these people, and say, you know, can you help my young adults to get a little bit more involved in the parish? We need to invite them.
Right. Well, even with that spiritual awakening and that commitment to teaching young children and being part of that catechetical life, it was a very wise pastor who said, you know what, I'd like to see you come and work in our parish.
There you go.
So, yes, I was there and I was participating, but I could get more involved right. with an invitation, which is exactly what happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the history of the early church, that the leaders were called forth by the community because they had a particular gift for hospitality or a gift for preaching or a gift for whatever the church needed, caring for the sick. That's how we can continue.
Right. And all we do is to recognize the gifts in other people and call them forth.
Absolutely. Yes. And then give them any kind of training necessary to nurture that gift around the gospel of Jesus in our church.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy, when we come back from a little bit of a break, how about we focus on the strategic plan?
Great.
And your involvement most particularly in our passion, and that's this first year. It's titled Youth and the Early Years of Young Adults, and we'd like to hear about that and share that, of course, with those who are listening at the other end.
Great. I've got some fun things to tell you.
I know you do. Good. Thank you. We'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the beatification of Pope John Paul II. We'll take you on a pilgrimage to Quincy, Illinois, a river town that played a major role in the life of Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll give you a snapshot of the strategic pastoral plan for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future.
Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries, and we are now moving into talking about the strategic plan. And Nancy, we're looking for your wisdom. What on earth is it, and how is it going to unfold for us?
Well, I do have to say it's the wisdom of the Archdiocese, the wisdom of the community that's coming to me that I can explain and to tell people about. So it's not one person's wisdom. Let's be very clear about that. And, you know, let me just say, we talked about the word strategic pastoral plan. It does sound very businesslike. It is strategic. It is a plan. It is pastoral. It is all those things. But what we need to remember is that everything that the church does really needs to be grounded in Christ. And so there's a new kind of tagline, and it will become probably the title that we know this plan by. It is Reflect Christ's Light. If people wanted to read about the plan, they could go to the website, which is the Arch Chicago website. And I would suggest, before you look at anything, try to find the very last page of the plan, which is called the Theological Reflection. So, sounds like a lot of big words. But in there, basically, you get the heart of the plan. And there is a statement in there that we are all called to be Christ's light to the world. It is what the plan is supposed to be. It is the source. It's the substance of the plan. And so we pay attention to our relationship with Christ, and then we take that love and that light and reflect it like a prism into the world that has many colors and many different angles. So Reflect Christ's Light, you'll be hearing a little bit more. And Strategic Pastoral Plan, I think you're going to be hearing a little bit less. So it kind of grounds us in Scripture and grounds us in what the source of all this is. And of course, you know, the first year is this year for teens and early young adults. So that's your world.
Yeah, part of it, yeah. And so what this says, Nancy, is that through the life of the strategic plan, there's going to be a particular focus every year with a generic focus on all of these, obviously. But each year we're going to highlight.
Well, you know what? Let me explain.
Sure. So, please do.
Uh-huh. So the plan really is supposed to do three things. It's supposed to reach people and evangelize. It's supposed to help in the formation of Catholics, and it's supposed to revitalize or bring parishes to a more vital, energetic space. So evangelization, formation, and parish vitality are kind of the three things that will happen, hopefully, throughout the 4 and 5 years of the plan, but each one of the years has been named for a particular maybe audience or theme. The first year is teens and early young adults. The second year is how we celebrate Sunday Mass, which is really the core of what Catholic life is. The third year, I'm really excited to say, is that it's a focus on family formation and how parents are resourced and can be their child's, you know, first and most important catechist. So it's kind of parent formation, family formation. And then the fourth year is about sacrament, not just the seven sacraments as we know them, but if we know that a sacrament is Christ's love, that's presence in the world, how is the church, how is the Catholic Church sacrament to the world? So those are really the four main themes with this underlying evangelization, formation, and parish vitality. Sound good?
Sounds better than good. I mean, well, and folks, we need to understand, too, that this was Cardinal George's idea as he began to see that his years as the Archbishop of Chicago will be coming to an end sooner than later. And he said that he benefited from the decisions document and plan that was being developed towards the end of the tenure of Cardinal Bernardine. And when he arrived in the diocese, there was some thinking and planning, and he found that very helpful as he moved into this big 2.5 million Catholic place called the Archdiocese of Chicago. And he thought it would be a wonderful idea to begin developing that. And so through the wisdom of Cardinal George, he said, let's work on this. Mm-hmm. And that's what Nancy has just outlined, what people in the diocese have begun to develop.
And I think it could have started anywhere, but Cardinal George has a great love for the young people. He created a parish council board for teenagers. So that's been a passion of his, is to reach these young people, knowing that, yes, they are the church of the future, but they are really the church of now also, that their energy and their passion can revitalize anybody, a pastor or parishes. And actually, I've seen that happen. We've been told by people in youth ministry that don't begin a year of teens and young adults if you haven't listened to these people, the teens and the young adults. And so that's what we've been doing during the month of February and March, is holding these listening sessions in little pockets around the Archdiocese. And there's something almost miraculous that happens to the old folks, like me, who are in the audience when you hear these, you know, 15 or 21-year-olds say, my faith is really important to me, and right. I want this church to speak to me.
Right.
It's forming for the young people, but it's also formational for the people who are listening.
Well, it's so life-giving. I mean, that because I run into so many people who will say to me, Father, I've done the very best I could with my sharing the faith with my children, but three of the four have no interest right now.
Yeah.
And you can see the pain in people's faith in their faces. And so consequently, you're right, when they see young people talking about such a love of faith, that's so renewing to say, well, maybe my kids someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's an important thing.
Well, hey, you know what? We have a tool in place that parishes can use, or groups of parishes. If there's a couple of pastors or a couple of youth ministers, people who want to start a young adult group, if they want to see things move forward, we suggest that they listen to those young people first. And there's actually a plan on how to hold one of these listening sessions that's on the website. It's called A Guide to Conversations, and people can download it. It's, I think it's like 10 or 12 pages, and it gives you step by step how to hold one of these listening sessions, what questions to ask, and then, you know, it's really up to the parish or the deanery, whoever is doing the listening session, to move this forward based on the passion and the skills of the people in the room.
Sure. And the website is?
Well, I would go to the Arch Chicago one, www.archchicago.org.
There you go.
There's a little yellow button that says Year for Teens and Early Young Adults. If you click on that, you get all of the documents. And there's actually a cute video of one of the teen listening sessions. So you get a sense of what it looked like and how we gathered young people. So a very good place to begin thinking about how to start programs for teens and young adults in parishes.
Very important, very needed.
Yeah.
Very, very needed.
So thank you, Nancy, for sharing that information with us. We really appreciate that. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Nancy Palinchuk has been with us. Thanks, Nancy, for staying. She's going to stay with us for the rest of the show. That's exciting. And Father Cusick was just sharing some information over the break. It's an adventure working with Father Cusick, everybody. So if there's laughter going on, I'm sorry about that. It's
folks,
just
I always
too many fun things happen right before we go back on.
Some of the best things in radio are doing breaks.
Which is true. Oh, my goodness.
And we got a punchline in right before Kate said we're back.
I'm like, wait. Couldn't even process that one. But anyway, we are delighted that now we're going to bring in on the phone the two people that have been working our RUA centers. Those are area-wide outreaches to young adults, one happening around Marian Catholic High School in the southeast suburbs and one happening at Dominican University for the western suburbs. So good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Kate. I'm doing well this morning.
Excellent.
The great Terry Shelley of athletic and softball fame.
There you go. There you go.
Looking out over right center field to the beautiful green Marian Catholic baseball field as we speak.
There you go. Everybody's got their religion, Terry. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great.
And good morning also to Elise. How are you today, Elise?
I am well. Good morning, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning,
Father John.
And Elise, we can publicly, over these massive airwaves, congratulate you on your engagement.
Oh, thank you.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? There's a
very lucky
man named Adam out there who I'm sure beams every day when he realizes that you are the love of his life. He's a very lucky man.
You know, he does.
And don't forget, all you got to tell him is that guys only need two words the rest of their life. Yes, dear. You know?
And that was Brian Brock, our producer.
Our beloved producer said, I'm sorry, because
that's
yes,
another good one.
That's right. We're still down to two words either way.
There we go.
Terry and Elise, we're glad you're here. And as you know, if you've been listening, that Nancy Palinchuk has graced our presence this morning as well. And
that's right. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi.
There she is. And we've been talking a little bit about the pastoral. First of all, we opened up talking a little bit about technology and the importance of it. And Elise, you have been the genius.
She's excellent, everybody.
I'm telling you.
You can call her if you need help.
Yeah, if you need help, you know, call the Kateri Center for Young Adult Ministry, and you're going to get somebody who at least can work this technology stuff. I don't.
Walk you through Facebook.
You know, and if you think I'm bad, there's always Terry out there. Right, Terry?
I'm the bottom of the barrel.
There you go. But we began talking, Elise and Terry, about technology, and then Nancy came aboard, and so much of the pastoral plan, I mean, when she mentioned that if you want to read the pastoral plan, you don't go to the New World and find a piece of paper, you know, to go to archchicago.org and click on right there. It says the pastoral plan. I believe it's on the lower side, on the right side of the homepage, and it all comes up, and it's there 24/7. So it's a different world. Now, this different world, how do you, you guys have been out there in the field almost coming up on 3 years. When you read the tea leaves and you hear the words that Nancy is about to coordinate, the early years of young adults, what do you see on the horizon out there?
Well, I heard a new phrase to describe it, the phenomenon that I think we've kind of been identifying. Christian Smith and his research calls them emerging young adults, and the title of his book is Souls in Transition. But the phrase I heard yesterday that just kind of really described what we're talking about with young adults is from one of the pastoral associates that I work with out at St. Eulalia's. And she said that young adults are a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of captures the essence of what we're trying to do. There's so many things moving, changing, happening in their lives at this moment.
Right.
And that makes it that much more challenging to capture their attention.
And to capture their presence. I mean, they're here today.
Exactly.
They're here today and not here later today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly, Elise, and see if this resonates with you and Terry and your experience. This moving target has not been helped by the recession.
No. Mm-hmm. It's definitely added to the stress level, and I think there's all sorts of different figures for where unemployment is, but it's definitely a little worse for those who have not been in their jobs for a very long time.
I've heard among college graduates in the last 3 years, unemployment ranges somewhere between 18% and 25%. And because they've never been out of work, because they're really new in the workforce, it's hard to determine. You can't get a measure on that. Because
right.
they don't show up in the Department of Labor statistics, because
exactly.
They've not been laid off from anything. They just can't find employment. And so that takes a lot of this college stuff and throws it up in the air like a deck of cards.
Well, and that's what Elise and I had a conversation yesterday, and we were talking about this very thing in the economy. A lot of the young adults I talk to, it's not from a lack of desire to come to events, but their world is they have to get the education, and they have to get established in jobs, and some of them can't find a job in their field, so they're working two jobs to make ends meet, which leaves them very little personal time, and they're very selective with that. So, you know, we've got to, you know, find that niche, that time that they are available, and have it be a program that's enough to attract their attention and get their presence.
Right. So, folks, listening to Terry and Elise's wisdom here and what Nancy has added to us, keep in mind that if you don't get a lot of volunteers from younger people, it's not that they don't care necessarily. We've got to, as Nancy said earlier, we've got to learn to listen to these people and understand the rhythms of their own lives, that they can't come maybe to a meeting on a Tuesday night, or they may not be able to be a catechist every other Saturday because they don't have every other Saturday. But that doesn't mean we can't find other strategic ways. You know, let's say with using Nancy's background in catechesis, director of religious education in a parish. Well, what would happen if we had two or three or four young adults who really worked with a master teacher, and that they could come and go based upon their schedule? And over the next couple of years, they could get a little bit more exposure to what it means to teach religious education to a six-year-old or a seven-year-old. But to say that they're going to take over a classroom, they're not going to do it, right? Because, I mean, Terry, that's what you're saying. They don't have the time.
Exactly. They'll give you a little time as it becomes available, but they can't be fully committed.
Right. And then when you think, Elise, that, you know, you go back almost to your parents' generation, the backbone of Catholic parish life was people 25 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's a generation that's almost missing in action, because we can't do the same things the same way with a whole different world of people today. What have been some of the positives you guys have seen in your work in the RUA project?
Well, I would say that the desire is there, and the one thing I notice when I send out a blast email to a lot of people, I don't get a response. But when I go one-on-one and ask people how are they doing, what's your work life, or, you know, if somebody's sick in your family, that they respond very positively, and I get a lot of, you know, finding out what's on in life. So the positive thing for me is when you go one-on-one and you ask them, and we are the representative for of the church for them at that time, they're very open and honest, and, you know, we have nice conversations, and I'm there for them, and then, you know, hopefully at some point in time I'll be able to have their presence at an event, but, you know, we are directly ministering to them one-on-one, and I think they appreciate that.
Cool. Elise, how about you?
I think it has to be the relationships that we've had the opportunity to build over the past couple of years, just connecting to people and finding out, you know, where their passions lie and what they're interested in, and, you know, finding out that there are young adults who are passionate about the church. It's just, you know, a matter of logistics and trying to figure out how to best connect them.
And I think that you hit it on the head, Elise. It is about building relationships. So much of ministry is about building relationships. And it starts, well, it starts with the family, it starts growing up. But then as teenagers, who are the mentors in the parish? Who is, you know, teaching them the faith? Who is connecting them to liturgical ministries and to service projects and to the various elements that make up our Catholic tradition? If there's someone that people can turn to, that people can talk to, that people see as exciting and filled with life, or a wisdom figure, or someone they can ask questions to, is there a one-on-one connection? And we used to be so blessed with so many priests available and connecting to so many programs, and now it isn't the way it used to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're lucky to have, you know, one or two priests in a rectory, let alone the four or five or six that there used to be. So it's harder and harder, and we don't have the wealth of the sisters roaming around in our classrooms and in the religious ed programs, etc. So really, lay ministry has needed to step up and be present to people, right, and be mentors for people. But it's so much about building relationships and spending time one-on-one with people. Terry, as you mentioned, inviting people one-on-one, as we've been discussing, it all makes a difference. But without that personal contact, it's really hard to come into the parish and feel comfortable there. You know, we need to keep building those relationships.
Nancy?
You know, we had a real moment of wisdom from young adults because we had these listening sessions. Uh-huh. And one young adult said, you know, we do want to participate in parish, but we don't know really where we fit in, and we're not really sure we belong. So if parishioners could see a young adult in a parish who is really intently listening to Scripture, maybe the parishioner should say, why don't you become a lector? Mm-hmm. Or if somebody shows a real respect as they're going up for Eucharist, a parishioner can say, that seems to be really touch you, maybe you should become a Eucharistic minister. So you know what? It's not just the priests that, right, need to ask. Right. It's parishioners. We need to raise up those young people who are in parishes, who are still sticking around and need to be invited.
Yeah.
Let me put a specific idea based on that, Nancy, into the heads of our listeners today. And that is, there's these young people coming back for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of these young people, whether they've been at a commuter college or a resident, whatever kind of thing, they're having a pretty good church experience. They are some of the lectors at Creighton and Marquette and St. Mary's and Loyola and DePaul. They are some of the communion ministers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a parish, if anybody who's involved in liturgy were listening today and said, you know, can't we put something out to the parents of our returning college people and say, which of your kids has been involved at school? And then over the summer, just until mid-August, we give a lot of our regular people a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And immerse younger people into the life of faith on a Sunday morning or Saturday night. And everybody in the parishes sees younger people. And as you were saying earlier, what a hopeful sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go back to the same old in August until we figure a better way. But this really engages this young level of faith about which you spoke, and it engages a ministry, mm-hmm, that's based on their time, Sunday Mass,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
off we go.
Yeah, and they are already the Catholics that are committed to staying with the church. They just do it during their school year with their community of,
right,
young people, and they can do it for our parish.
But see, the concern that I hear is, they may do it during their college years, but what happens after that? Mm-hmm. A lot of them who cannot find a place Now, people are going to get angry when I say this. I'm going to say they can't necessarily find a place to worship. And I can hear people saying, that priest should know they can worship in any parish. They know that, and we know that. But at the same time, they, like many people, are looking for a place that feeds their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not everybody can do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Good.
We're going to go to one more break. Thanks for listening. We will be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our special guest, Nancy Polinchek. We also have Terry Shelley on the phone with us and Elise Ainsworth. So we've been covering lots of ground on lots of topics.
Now, Terry and Elise, you've been involved in many things, but one of the ones that has been, I think, most fascinating this past winter and this spring are what we're calling in quick phrase, teaching masses. Can you explain, Elise, you had one last Sunday at Catholic Charities Junior Board, and Terry, you had one a week ago today at St. Clair in the Hispanic community out on 55th Street on the south side of Chicago.
Actually, it's tonight.
And it's actually next. This is a different
recorded
week. Recorded. Right, so when people hear this show, it's going to be after the fact. So what has become the fascination, Elise, do you think, with those?
I think it's a great opportunity to just go a little bit deeper. You know, we're not asking for a huge, like, sign up for a class that's going to last all semester. We're asking for a little extra time on a mass you're going to go to anyway, and a chance to learn a little more about why we do what we do and the history and theology behind the things that we do in worship every week. And I think it deepens that experience in the moment, but also every week we go back to mass, you remember little pieces that you've heard, and it means just a little bit more every week then.
Now, and this is done through the actual celebration of Mass, am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so a priest presides and another priest sort of explains. Is that the deal?
Yes.
We're laughing because Father Cusick is usually the priest that explains, but other people have been doing it. Lay people can do it. It's just a very reverential way. I mean, Mass is still celebrated beautifully, prayerfully, but we pause periodically to just, as Elise said, go just a little deeper.
And Terry, how is this? I know that I've had the privilege of experiencing a number of these with you out in the Chicago Heights area, way over in the southeast side of Chicago, so on and so forth. What kind of feedback are you picking up on people who have attended the these teaching masses?
They love it, and they wish they would have invited someone else after they've had the experience. And so we're trying to provide it more. In fact, we go wherever we are invited.
Right.
So the Mass at St. Clair, it came about a young adult, Marisol Aguilar, who attended Theology on Tap last year, and she went back to her pastor and said, I'd like to do something in our parish. And he said, great, but I don't have the time to do it. Would you do it? And she did.
Right.
And they came to one of our Masses, and she really liked it. And she said, I would love to do this at our parish. So she contacted her pastor, and I contacted you, and we made the arrangements. And the young adults are basically taking charge of this. They have arranged liturgical roles. They've done everything to put this together. So, you know, they have taken the lead, and it's their initiative, and it's kind of fun. And that spirit is, and that energy is infectious, and I think people sense that. So, and basically people learned about the Mass when they were young, and now they've got a lot of different lived experience, and they're in a different place in their life, and they're relearning it with more understanding.
Exactly. Now, in many ways, Marisol, about whom you spoke, is really a moving target when you think that she attended Theology on Tap way out southeast over by the Indiana border, and her home parish is 55th in California on the southwest side of Chicago. So that's quite a journey.
She was willing to travel for an experience that she thought was valuable,
right,
and to check it out so she could bring it back to her home parish. And, you know, and actually, I got another email when I sent out the invitations for St. Clair, and somebody asked me, and I said, well, this is great. Have you ever considered moving it up to the north or north suburbs? And I said, absolutely. Find us a host site, get us a young adult group to run it,
right,
and give us a call, and we will make the arrangements to be there. So, you know, somebody sees it, and it sparked a lot of conversation, and that's our offer, is we will come to your parish if we're invited, and it could be, you know, work as a neighboring parish with the parishes in your area, which is also what Marisol is doing. They've got four or five parishes that have combined on this event.
Yeah, now, Elise, the one with Catholic Charities is interesting because that's not a parish. It's the Catholic Charities Junior Board, am I correct?
That's right. That's a group of about 300 young adults, people in their 20s, 30s, and maybe early 40s, who are connected with Catholic Charities and aren't, you know, kind of in the place in their lives where they're ready to be on the executive board per se. But Catholic Charities has social opportunities, fundraising opportunities, and of course service opportunities for people in that age range.
Great. Well, we need to say thanks to the two of you, and thanks to Nancy. Kate's got a few things she needs to share with us about where we're headed next.
Actually, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact both of you first. So, Terry,
okay,
how do people reach the Hecker Center?
By phone, 708-756-9752, or by email, tshelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, at yamchicago.org.
Great, thank you. And Elise, how do people reach the Kateri Center?
Well, I'm going to start that there's a link for both of our centers at yamchicago.org, the Young Adult Ministry website. And you can find more information there. We're also on Facebook. Each of those centers has a group there on Facebook that you can search by the name. Kateri is K-A-T-E-R-I. And Isaac Hecker, also there. My phone number is 708-488-5112.
Thanks so much to both of you. And just so all of our listeners know, if you know any young adults, or if you are a young adult, just looking for something, you've got a little time on Thursday evening, you can always go to our website, as Elise mentioned, yamchicago.org. That stands for Young Adult Ministry, yamchicago.org. And the calendar of events is right there. We want to say thanks so much to Nancy Polinchek. Nancy, thank you for being with us as well. We appreciate your time and your gifts.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good spring.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Speak.